Charlene Klinger was behind the counter at the DMV working the registration-only line. She was prettier in person. Her hair still lacked style, but it was thick and glossy and suited her. Her face was animated and she smiled a lot. After 35 minutes, Lula and I had inched our way up to her. I introduced myself to Charlene and explained I was substituting for Annie Hart. "That woman is a nut," Charlene said. "I don't know where she came from, but good riddance if she's gone. And I don't need a substitute in that case. I'm doing fine. I don't want a man in my life. I've got enough problems." "Didn't you hire Annie?" "Heck no, she just popped into my kitchen one day. Happens to me all the time. The kids leave the door open and the next thing I know, some half-starved cats wandered into the house and won't leave." "I was under the impression you wanted to find your true love," I said to Charlene. Charlene looked at the powdered sugar that had sifted onto Lula's chest. "I'd sooner find a bag of donuts. Don't have to shave your legs to enjoy a bag of donuts."
"Amen to that," Lula said.
"You're going to have to move along if you don't want to register something," Charlene said. "You hold up the line too long and this crowd will get ugly." Lula and I left the building and hustled to my car. It was freezing cold and we walked with our heads tucked down against the wind.
"Now what?" Lula wanted to know.
I slid behind the wheel and pulled another file out of the envelope. "I have more." Lula picked a donut out of the bag.
"Me too."
"Yesterday you told me you were going on a diet."
"Yeah, but it's something new. It's called the afternoon diet. You get to eat all you want until noon. Then the diet starts."
"Next up is Gary Martin. Runs a vet clinic on Route 1. Never been married. Looks like a nice guy." I passed his picture to Lula.
"He looks like a dork," Lula said. "He's wearing a bow tie and he's got a comb over. He don't need a matchmaker. He needs a woman with scissors."
I put the car in gear and rolled out of the lot. "According to Annie's file, he needs help getting his girlfriend back."
"And we're going to help him? Excuse me if I'm a skeptic, but it don't seem to me we're all that good at relationships. I only date losers and you have commitment issues. Plus, you can't even make up your mind about who you want as your commitment recipient. You're double-dipping with Morelli and Ranger."
"I'm not double-dipping."
"You're mentally double-dipping."
"That doesn't count. Everyone mentally double-dips. Keep your eyes open for Municipal Animal Hospital." The Municipal Animal Hospital waiting room was bright and cheery and sparkling clean, and it was empty of patients. A young woman sat behind the big wraparound desk. She was also sparkling clean, but she didn't look all that cheery.
"Yo," Lula said to her. "I'm Lula, and this here's the world-famous Stephanie Plum, and we're looking for Gary Martin."
"He's in surgery," the woman said. "Office hours start at 1 o'clock.
"Maybe he could squeeze us in between surgeries," Lula said. "It's a personal matter."
"Dr. Martin doesn't like to be disturbed when he's in surgery."
"See, here's the thing," Lula said. "I got a donut with my name on it out in the car, and I don't want to sit around until 1 o'clock. I mean, it's not like old Gary's doing open heart. He's cutting the balls off a cat, right?"
I pointed stiff arm to the door.
"Out," I said to Lula. "Just trying to communicate with Miss Stickupper ass," Lula said.
"Out!" I waited until Lula left, and then I turned to the receptionist. "Maybe I could leave a note for Dr. Martin." There was a long, awkward pause, and I assumed the receptionist was contemplating hitting the police button on the security system, or at the very least unleashing Dobermans from a holding pen. This was a vet office. They had dogs, right? Finally, the woman exhaled and slid a pad and pen my way.
"I guess that would be okay," she said.
I was halfway through the note when Gary Martin emerged from a back room and approached the receptionist.
"Any emergency calls?" he asked her. "Any, personal calls?"
She shook her head no.
"Are you sure? Not a single personal call?"
Gary Martin looked like a big 40-year-old cherub. He was about 5'6", with chubby cheeks and a soft middle. He was wearing a light blue lab coat that was unbuttoned over tan slacks and a yellow button-down shirt. He was entirely adorable in a dorky kind of way, and he was clearly disappointed that no one had called. I stuck my hand out and introduced myself. "Annie Hart is temporarily indisposed," I said. "I'm her replacement." I wasn't sure what to expect after Charlene Klinger, but Gary Martin seemed excited to see me. He ushered me into his little office and closed the door.
"I've been waiting," he said. "I was expecting Ms. Hart, but I'm sure you're wonderful, too."
"I understand you need help getting your girlfriend back."
"I don't know what happened. 2 weeks ago, she just said it was over. I don't know what went wrong. I must have done something terrible, but I don't know what it was. I was going to ask her to marry me on Valentine's Day, and Now I don't know what to do. She won't talk to me on the phone, and she won't let me into her apartment. And last time I tried to talk to her, she said I was a pest. A pest!
I'm curious, I said. How did you hear about Annie Hart?
It was odd. I found her card in my jacket pocket. Someone must have given it to me. It said Miss Hart was a relationship expert, and I thought, that's just what I need. So I called Miss Hart and we had a meeting. That was 4 days ago.
Martin took a photo off his desk and handed it to me.
Miss Hart wanted a picture of Loretta.
The sticky note attached to the back told me this was Loretta Flack, and Martin had neatly printed Loretta's address and phone number below her name.